Hello, everybody, and welcome to our Vital Health Community Q&A coaching call for the month of June 2018. And as usual, I'm excited to be here to hang out with you and to answer your questions and to just help propel you along on that perpetual road to unstoppable and vibrant health. So the way that these calls work, in case you're new, is that you get to ask me questions. If you're on the phone, just go ahead and raise your hand, star two, and just fire away. And if you have a ton of questions and there's other people waiting in the queue, then I'll just ask you to hold your next questions until after I get through so everybody gets a chance. And that's usually not a problem. And a star two on your telephone keypad raises your hand and cues you up. And I handle the questions in the order they came in. So my little handy dandy dashboard will give me a number next to your name. So star two raises your hand. And if you're on the web, just go ahead and type into the chat or the Q&A. I usually like to check the Q&A to see if anybody sent in questions before the conference began, and they did not. So we're here. Who has questions? I just see Pat just showed up. Hi, Pat. Questions? Comments? Well, this will be a short call then. Who has something? Don't be shy. Mary, you always have questions. Star two raises your hands. And I know it's later for you, so it's good if you go first. Hi, Mary.
Hi. Sorry, I was having trouble raising my hand. How are you?
Go ahead and unmute yourself.
Unmute myself?
Unless I am. Hang on one second. I muted my line before because I was, yep. Yeah, I did. It's me. There we go. All right. Hi.
Hi.
Now I can hear you. So sorry. I had muted my speaker before when I was trying to get something done and it kept beeping on me. So I muted it. There we go.
Oh,
all right.
No, no,
great.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you for asking.
Good. Good.
So
how
you're
can
right,
I
though.
Help you today? And we have Pat right behind you, so maybe we'll, you know, if you have a ton of questions, I'll take a few from you, then I'll go to Pat, and then I'll come back to you.
Sure, or you can start with Pat, whatever works for you.
Yep, you were first, so I'll go start with you.
Okay, I have just a couple things, but before I start, I wanted to just give you some good news. So I think the last time that we spoke, I kind of told you that things were normal.
Yes.
But I hadn't talked to the actual gyno. She just sent me an email because I needed to tell her that I needed to proceed with treatment and I needed to know as soon as possible what the result was from the DNC. And so she just sent me a quick email, said, okay, everything is normal. But the time before last, I tried to go in to see her, but she had an emergency surgery, so she couldn't. I saw somebody else. So they went through things with me, but I still kind of wanted to see her. So I did, and I saw her a couple of weeks ago, I think last week or the week before. Anyhow, so you're going to laugh, actually. So this is a specialist, a gynecologist. So as soon as she came in, first thing she said was, hi. And then she's like, you know, how are you doing, whatever. And she's like, you're my miracle patient. And I was like... And I was just, I mean, she made my day, I got to tell you. And so then she proceeded to go through all the information. She's like, I don't know. Like, she's like, everything is fine. Everything is normal. And I said, well, and then she gave me options in terms of, like, how to proceed from here. She said, we could kind of, like, you know, say everything is normal and then that's it. Or if you want to still feel like you need to kind of follow up. And when I spoke to my naturopath, we had thought, okay, we're doing still continuing with the treatment plan. We're going to weed you off. But what, you know, I'd like to do is get her to test and do maybe, like just do a scraping, like every 3 months and then for a little while and then do 6 months and do a year and just make sure that as we weed you off, everything's okay, right? So she
especially if you're weaning off on your natural therapy.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. Because I'm on a hell of a lot of supplements too, which I'd like to sort of like really tone down eventually. So, and so she was like all for it. She's like, sure, I'll do whatever you want if that's what makes you comfortable, whatever, right? So, but what was also interesting is so I was supposed to follow up with the other specialist. As you know, I don't want to talk about it. So hopefully you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Which I never actually ended up seeing because she said to follow up with her. I ended up trying to follow up with her, but you know, they never got back to me or whatever the case is. So they were in contact, and she said, you know, I can still send you if you want to see her, but she said, I haven't been in contact with her, and she saw your results, and she's like, what do I need to see her for? She's okay. She's normal. So she, but the funny thing is, she says, so, you know, do you still want me to follow up and get an appointment? Are you still, because she goes, I know you were adamant to kind of see her in the beginning. And I said, well, if I really don't have to see her, I don't really want to. Anyhow, so long story short, she's like, okay, no problem. She says, I really kind of wanted you to see her so you can tell her what you're doing. And I thought,
cool. That's
doctor
so cool.
Said that? Anyhow, it was just priceless. And so she even said, she goes, you know, it could have even just been a weird virus that you maybe got, and maybe that's why that happened. She's like, I don't even know how to explain it. She says, but whatever you're doing, she's just like, keep doing it.
Just keep doing
it. That, yeah. So that was fantastic news. Such a doll. I am so glad that it worked out that, you know, I, to get her, I first had a male, and I said, you know, I don't want to work with a male with any gynecological stuff right now. I said, I'd rather just work with a female. And so this is how it kind of all happened. And it was all very last minute. So everything kind of worked out. I think the universe aligned things for me, which was awesome. So.
Well, congratulations. And you, I know you did a tremendous amount of work, and then taking off of work for, you know, really
yes.
prioritizing your health.
You
really, and it's important that you continue, that you don't go back to that high stress life that you were leading before, right? Because now you know how it can happen.
Yeah. Well, oh, and the other thing, too, is I wanted to tell you good news. I remember I was telling you my hyperthyroid issue.
Yeah.
My TSH has been, like, literally, like, not even on the map. It was, like, 0.001 whatever, like, less than kind of thing. And so even the naturopath was like, okay, I've been working, like, for 15 years, you know, in this industry, you know, and I've never had anybody move their TSH this fast into the normal range. So now, finally, my last blood work, my TSH is in the normal range. And having said that, it's in the lower end of the normal range, but still. The only thing is my, and when I was talking to Lisa too, my T3 is still going kind of a little bit down. So we're still kind of monitoring that. They kind of don't really want me to tweak anything yet. I have been doing some muscle testing on some of the supplements, so they are tweaked a little bit, but not like drastically. So we'll see how the changes kind of go. So
how low is that T3 going? You're talking free T3, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
How low is it going?
So now it's, I don't know if what the conversion is to, but it's at 2.2 now.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
So
you know, the things like, you know, about selenium being important for that, right? And
yeah, that's
stress,
what I'm on.
Certainly, right? So meditation and heart math and all that are super important. Insulin is actually important for that conversion. So if you get like too low and too like a ketogenic diet for too long can really throw off your thyroid. So that might be something to consider because I know you were super low glycemic for a while working with this. So could be that. And even just throwing in a higher glycemic healthy carb kind of day once a week can really help that to keep it from going and downward regulating. So that's a possibility.
Well, you just hit two of my questions. So I'm going to get back to those two because I wanted to talk to you a little bit further about those two questions in particular. If somebody else wanted to jump in, I can, and then we can come back to my questions.
Let me go and talk to Pat, and then we'll come back and talk to you. That way, thank you for being open to sharing the space here. There's not a lot of people on tonight, and there's only one other hand, so I'll come back to you. And if anybody else has questions, star two. And I know Mary's loaded with questions, and we'll just keep alternating back and forth to Mary as we answer other people's questions. So, Pat, hi there. Pat from Washington State.
Hi, Dr. Rita Marie. Thank you.
Hi, you're welcome. Nice to talk to you.
Maybe Mary and I will go back and forth. I have a load, too.
You do, too. Okay, cool. We'll just take turns.
Okay. We've been talking a little bit. The end of February, we talked about my low body weight. I'm still under 100 pounds. I'm running around 91 or 2. I had been working on the GRAND program and had done the elimination diet, and I kept eliminating. And I had experimented with small window eating, you know, going many hours. And then, of course, I felt better doing that since I'd had plenty of digestive problems, which is why I was on the program. So anyway, around the end of February, I believe, you and I spoke, and you suggested I forgot the important part. In the end of January, I broke out with a really bad case of eczema, which has lasted for a while, you may recall. Okay, so you suggested I eat green beans, sweet potatoes, and zucchini, which I did dutifully for a couple of months. I've been putting that in other things, but I'm eating salads. I still can't do any nuts. I can do some seeds, though, so I've been using sunflower and pumpkin seeds, which really tastes awful. But the last time we talked about my blood work, because I was concerned that this had gone on so long, and I had my doctor do it, and one reading I gave you told you that I was low in zinc. I think you said you need to be 70 or above.
The alkaline phosphatase. Right.
That was it. So I've been taking the liquid zinc, which tastes just as bad as pumpkin seeds, so that's too good. I must be on the right track.
So you don't like the pumpkin seeds and you don't like the zinc?
No, but I think they should help me, so I don't have any problem with that.
Okay.
Just complaining along the way.
That's okay.
Yeah. So I've been doing that, but I'm still just not being able to gain weight. I've done some grains, but not very many, mostly just a little bit of rice, mostly in the form of pressed rice crackers. And I eat, chia, flax, hemp, seed. I'm doing the milk thistle for my liver because I think that what happened with this experimenting with my diet and losing so much weight, like about 30 pounds, may have caused a release of toxins. I obviously used up all my fat because I haven't gotten out there now. No fat anywhere.
Nowhere, anywhere. Well, that's good because you don't have any toxic waste stores to worry about, but now you need to rebuild. So,
yeah, that's why I'm on here now. Plus, a little tiny monkey wrench came in today. I had a scan because I have a lump in my armpit, and I have to go back for a biopsy on that. And they said it's a yellow dot case, and I have to have neoplastic something. I don't know. They're going to do an ultrasound biopsy with guided needle.
Okay.
Anyway,
so they said it was a yellow something. It looks like a yellow dot.
Yeah, they said a suspicious mass, several masses, and they suspect cancer.
They want to biopsy it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, anyway, but I'm still, the good news is I have been feeling great through all of this. You know, so
the digestive symptoms that you started with have settled down.
I haven't eaten the foods that have made it really bad, so maybe. But I used to eat nuts and now I don't because they did cause an immediate flare up, and I tried different nuts at different times with space in between because this has been several months now.
Like, and you tried the nuts soaking them first, germinating them?
Yeah,
okay. Okay, so yeah, you stay off of that. It could be a gallbladder thing, right? The liver gallbladder. It could be difficulty with the fat, but then again, you handle the seeds. Do you handle any oils?
Not very well. Coconut oil, I tried. That was one of the suggestions to mix with the turmeric and the ginger. I just couldn't. I couldn't stomach it.
What happened? Did it give you bloating or gas or something like that?
No, it made me feel sick to my stomach, actually.
Kind of nauseous?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And any other oils you've tried? Olive oil, flax oil?
Oh, I use some avocado oil once in a while. I put a little bit of sesame seed oil on once in a while and a little tiny bit of olive oil. But I don't use oils very much. I never really have.
Okay. Just thinking into, I'm not into oils, as you probably know from listening to me, but therapeutically, when someone has got a limited diet and a little bit limited ability to eat foods to build back up, sometimes the oils are needed to just as a temporary solution to get through some of that. But if you don't tolerate the oils either. Now, have you tried taking any of the oils with lipase or digestive enzymes, a general digestive enzyme?
I've done digestive enzymes on and off. They feel very strong in my system.
Mm-hmm.
And I shy away from using them. I have not tried lipase by itself, though.
Yeah, it might be worth trying lipase by itself if you have difficulty. That way you can increase your fat content a little bit, which is very calorically dense, which could help you to at least prevent you from losing more weight, if not put on some extra weight. But always good oils, right? Avocado, the ones you mentioned are all fine. And it might just, you said every once in a while you have a little bit. Just try having a little bit more frequently. You know, just very gradually increase it. So you just, if even if you just every day you increase your caloric intake by 200-300 calories, wow. You know, that'll prevent you from wasting away.
Yeah.
Right. And support in terms of nutrients. You said you're taking the zinc. What else are you taking?
We had talked about the krill oil, which I've been taking every day, and quercetin, which I found upset my stomach if I took it except outside the morning. So I just take it in the morning, 500 milligrams of that, and that's been doing.
Of what? What was that?
Quercetin, because of the itching.
Quercetin, right. For the skin stuff. Mm-hmm.
And I also take B vitamins. I take a B12 because I don't eat meat. Although I did eat fish, I usually have like a wild salmon maybe once a month now since this started, so that I could get extra oils that way.
Mm-hmm.
I just throw in different ones.
Yeah, a little bit more frequently, like once a week.
Or what?
If the salmon agrees with you, are you opposed to doing it like every week instead of every month?
Well, we get one that's big, so it goes for three meals. That's quite a bit.
So once a month you have it for three meals, is that what you're saying?
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
But yeah, certainly I could increase that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just looking for sources of calories that your body's tolerating,
mm-hmm.
right? And
right.
Of course, nutrition. You don't want to do, I wouldn't do more than once a week just because of the potential of mercury or PCB contamination, but. Okay. All right. So what specific questions do you have for me now?
Well, I have a strange thing that's been occurring. Here's a good one for you. About 4 to 6 hours after I have a salad, greens, sometimes some red cabbage shredded in there, sometimes carrot, cucumber maybe, and once in a while tomatoes. Generally that's what I have. Oh yeah, and a half avocado. Then about 4 to 6 hours later, I'll have digestive upset like I used to have with the really strong bloating and the pressure and the pain moving from left to right across the lower abdomen. But when I eat the salad, any salad, and I'm hungry or whatever, and I follow it with the usual cooked vegetables that I have, then I don't have the upset usually.
Okay. Yeah, so it sounds like there's still some rawness in your intestinal tract, right? It's irritating.
Mm-hmm.
Just having the salad doesn't soothe it then. So it's like you're having the salad and then you're having these raw vegetables, these cooked vegetables, which are softer, and it's almost like it's soothing afterwards.
That's,
you know,
what it seems like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't know if you've ever done Slippery Elm. Have you ever done Slippery
Elm?
Oh,
yes. I have Slippery Elm every day. That was one of the way back ones for your program that I started on.
Okay.
I love it.
Okay, good. Good. And do you do it around mealtime, like after the meals?
Sometimes I do. I face it throughout the day, usually a couple times.
Okay. Yeah, just thinking in terms of that. So I would say if that's what your body is looking for, go ahead and always just don't have salad by itself. Have the cooked vegetables afterwards.
Yeah, I noticed that. I just thought that was awfully odd.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like it might work to also have Slippery Elm after it. You'd have to experiment. It sounds like it's something that's actually soothing. Like the raw vegetable fiber may be actually irritating a little bit, and then the other soothes it and keeps it calm. Whereas when you don't do that, then it's just kind of feeling a little aggravated.
Now, the other thing is I was doing many of your suggestions there for the green drink. But
yeah.
I was having trouble digesting those. And also it changed my bowel content to the point where it was mushy and not really very good. So that's something else. I wanted to try to reintroduce that, but it just doesn't always go through well. And sometimes it goes through better than other times.
Yeah, if it doesn't upset your stomach, if it just makes your bowels a little looser, that's not uncommon when you're drinking liquid meals, because they are already broken down, so there's not as much whole fiber that will hold the stools together. So if it's aggravating and you don't feel good after, then of course don't do it. What about juices? That would be blended drinks, right? But what about juices?
I don't have any juicing. I just blend it and just use it all.
Yeah, so one of the things you might try, do you have a juicer?
No, but I can get one if I really need to, I guess.
You know, it's
Tried a juice. I actually, you know, being the kind of diet for 40-some years, I really haven't gone out very much, and I don't eat stuff out, and I've never tried a juice.
So what you might try before you go invest in a juicer is there a place that you can get organic juice locally, just a vegetable juice?
I'll have to look into that. I don't know.
Yeah, look into
it. I'm sure there's somewhere. Yeah.
I bet there is. Another way to do it, though, is to take some veggies. Like, just start with simple celery and cucumber. Stick them in the blender. Blend them up. And then use a nut milk strainer bag. Really fine mesh to strain it out. And just don't eat the fiber. Just eat the juice. Drink the juice. And see how that sits. And you can try it with a little stronger. Try it with kale, but add water to the kale. Right?
Okay.
Add kale in there. Add water. Blend it down. You'll have more fiber, obviously, than you would from celery and cucumber, because they don't have as much. And then see how that feels. And
okay.
If it feels good, it's much easier to have a juicer. But if it doesn't sit well, then don't bother buying the juicer, right? So that's the way I would recommend it.
Right. That's a great idea to test it that way.
Yeah. And some people just don't ever buy a juicer. They just juice that way. Personally, I just think it's pain. It's too hard. I don't do it that way. Good.
Any other suggestions that you've got? I have been eating the roots to try to do it. Beets are not agreeing with me at all. I used to love beets and eat them just fine. I can do the leaves and stem, but I can't do the actual roots.
Are you steaming them or are you trying to eat them raw?
Oh, no, not raw anymore. I wasn't doing that.
Okay.
I haven't done that for a while. Now I'm steaming them, or I tried roasting, which was actually a little bit better.
Okay. Well, then the ones that don't agree, don't do. And then periodically just try, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just try a small piece and see how it goes. Sweet potatoes are usually pretty smooth and soothing, and they give you some calories. So as long as, you know, your blood sugar doesn't go through the roof, that would be a good option as well. And what else? Yeah, I just think if you can get a little bit more fat in there, that whatever you tolerate, with the nut, the seeds, you can blend them. So if you don't, here's the thing. You said you don't like the pumpkin seeds. You don't like the taste of them, but there's so many ways to make them taste good, right? You can blend them up and make a pumpkin mint milk or whatever flavor you like, a cinnamon chai with pumpkin seeds, something along those lines. But again, if your body doesn't, if it's your taste buds that don't like them, it's different than if your body is responding poorly to them.
No, I think my body's been responding okay.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Okay. Yeah, so, you know, give it a try. There's some great ways. We just made some pumpkin seeds where we soaked them and then put some seasonings on them and dehydrated them. And, oh, my God, couldn't get enough. They were so delicious.
Mm. Now, when I made the seed butter, with the pumpkin and also the sunflower. The recipe that I used, I roasted them first, and then I blended in, but I didn't do any soaking on them at that point. So I tried to, I'm not having trouble digesting them that I know of.
Okay. So if you're not having trouble digesting them, play around, because it does give you a variety, and, you know, especially with the zinc content of the pumpkin seeds, and it's a good source of protein and fat.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I would play with that. And I would just stick with, if you're going to do raw stuff, make sure you're following it with the cooked, like you're finding out, or with slippery elm or something like that, and so it doesn't aggregate.
Okay.
Okay. I want to just see you get lots of phytonutrients in there. That's why I mentioned juicing.
Right.
And if the juicing works out to be a problem, then some kind of green powdered mix or something along those lines. And if doing the juice by itself is, for whatever reason, not great, you can always blend the juice with you know, a nut or seed, well, not a nut, but a seed in your case, and make like a, you know, a shake, a thicker, kind of more calorically dense shake for yourself.
So the juice would have a fat as well.
Yeah, if you find that it like it goes through you too fast, or for whatever reason you feel a little off, or your blood sugar goes up after drinking it, then adding a little bit of fat to it can slow it down.
Okay.
Without having the extra fiber. When somebody's, when you're really thin and you have a metabolic rate that's, you know, not not allowing you to put on weight, then having that a lot of fiber, like in a blended drink, is going to make you fuller, which means you can't have consume as many calories.
Exactly what I've been finding. I'm like, I just can't eat anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I'm thinking if you can get a lot of the nutrient extracted with the juice and then even add a little bit of fat to that to give you a little extra calorie, that might help you.
Excellent. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
All right.
Thank Bye.
You. Good luck, Mary. Bye.
We'll go to Mary next, and I'm going to just see, Mary, before I do, I'm just going to check the Q&A to see if anybody typed in there. Nope. Chat? Nope. Okay, good. Mary, it's all yours. Let me open your line. Oh, and then Ella will come, Eliza will come after you. So go ahead, Mary.
Hello. Okay, so thank you. That gave me some time to just coordinate my questions better anyway, so. Okay, so I'm going to throw up, I'm going to throw out the fast ones first and then, come with a little bit more complicated ones, I guess, but, okay, so let's go back to, I've been listening to the Dr. Pompa with his water fasting stuff, and he has some interesting stuff that he mentioned, one of which was the conversion of T4 to T3 and, about the whole, you need insulin to do that. And then here we are, like, you know, I've been taking obviously your, you know, blood sugar course, and we've been diligently trying to keep the blood sugar at you know, more at lower levels and so forth and so on. And now it's like, oh my gosh, you got to have high insulin to convert T4 to
T3
for your
thyroid. Not high insulin.
Okay,
right?
But
the concern is that somebody has extremely low insulin. So, like a type 1 diabetic. Right? A type 1 diabetic is not going to be making much at all. A type 2 diabetic that's been type 2 for a long time wears out the pancreas and suddenly the insulin goes too low. Now, it's possible if you're on a ketogenic type diet, super low carb, that you will keep it super low. Best way to know is to test it. But his way around it, which I like, is to introduce what he calls a feast day. Once a week.
Yes.
Now, a feast day doesn't mean going out and eating chocolate chip cookies and M&Ms. It means maybe having some sweet potato and having, you know, a little bit more fruit or something that's going to just be a little bit more carb. But in fact, he says it could be more carb, it could be more protein, or just totally more calories. So it doesn't really have to be something that elevates the sugar as much, because the protein will actually cause an increase in insulin as well.
Well, I've been doing my insulin check, and I haven't really found that my insulin has really been, like, super low.
Well, when you say you've been doing your insulin check, that's something you have to go to the doctor and have your blood drawn to get done.
Sorry, let me rephrase that. I've been doing my blood sugar.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, right, because you're right about that. So, yeah, I've been testing my blood sugar, so my blood sugar hasn't been super low. But we're not talking about super low blood sugar. We're talking about low insulin?
We're talking insulin, and usually they parallel each other. So if you're keeping your blood sugar in like a range of like 80 to 110, it's unlikely that you're going to be getting into the situation that he's talking about. But when you're fasting and then you're doing intermittent fasting and you're keeping your sugars very low, like below 70 consistently, then that can get, and that's what happens when you're fasting. You know, my whole time fasting, I'm in a 40s, right? And then for the days after, I'm mostly in the 60s and 70s, and I never get above that, you know? So that over a long period of time, like maintaining these ketogenic diets like a lot of people are doing and keeping themselves in, you know, ketosis for a real long time, that can cause it. Now, again, you don't know for sure until you do your insulin. And that's something you can have. You can go in on your blood test and have a fasting insulin done, and then have a postprandial insulin done, meaning about 45 minutes to an hour after you eat, which is where it peaks, you have that done as well, and you look to see what it is. And if your body's, like, some people get to the point where it's two before they eat and three after they eat, that's too low in insulin, right? And that can be getting them into trouble. But if it goes from, you know, two or three before you eat as a fasting, and it goes up to, you know, 10 after, or 20 is getting on the high side, then that's, you know, I think you're making enough insulin, in my opinion.
Okay. And then that's right. So, and then one of the things you were saying was, that was my question, because you've never really spoken about any until this point, till today, and actually was on my question about this whole carb up a day or whatever it is. He even goes as far as saying that, you know, when women are on their menstrual cycle the week before, to do a whole full week of a carb up, so that's been working for women, so they don't get into the, I guess, issues
right.
hormonally, right?
But he's not talking, you know, when we're talking people who are disrupted in their glucose insulin, and he mentioned that also in that same video. He said, you know, don't do this while you're still in a place where you're having high sugar swings. That's not
right.
That's not the time to not force somebody. And most of the people in the sweet spot are coming in where they're getting spikes of insulin that are, or glucose that are much higher than the 110 that we're recommending. Right. So it's more like this is a maintenance kind of a thing. Once
right.
you get yourself through a 30-day metabolic reset, once you get yourself to the point where you are able to start to introduce some foods back in without major disruptions. But if you're going to, you know, go eat pineapple and it's going to cause your sugar to go up to 175, that's probably not a good thing to do on a weekly basis, because you're still in a point where you need to heal. That makes sense?
Right. Yeah, and that was sort of my other question that tied in the part B on this question is, you know, given our, you know, the programs that I've learned through you, what would be healthy carbohydrate kinds of foods that we could use as, you know, a carb up day kind of thing, or whatever the case is? I know that Elena Love, she talks a lot about doing carb up as well, because she's big on this whole keto, but on the
mm-hmm.
plant-based keto too, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what are good foods that are on
on the good list, but still on the healthy list, right? Yeah, so for some people it might be quinoa. It might be sweet potatoes. It might be cooked beets, because they can tend to have a higher, even cooked carrots can have a higher glycemic effect. It could be, say, you know, pears or mango even. Just depends on what you've determined are the foods that keep you in a good range. What are some of the foods that might take you out if you ate too much? So I don't eat sweet potatoes I hardly ever eat sweet potatoes. Every now and then if I'm at an event where they make sweet potatoes mashed with coconut oil, I just can't resist. So I eat sweet potatoes then. So that would be something for me that I would do. Maybe it's hummus for some people, right? Because the beans might raise the sugar. So I think it's all just finding, you know, again, it's all, everything's personalized, right? Everything, I believe that everything should be personalized, which is why I think people should have a meter. I'm really, really loving my ketone meter, and you'll hear me talk more and more about that and using ketone meters to see how you're doing in terms of your adaptation and your metabolic resets. I'm even right now experimenting myself with the continuous glucose meter. I have a little sensor on the back of my arm, and all I have to do is hold it up and it does a continuous. But I found out today it was going way up. I'm like, what the heck is going on here? Why is this going up? My blood one is saying it's normal, and up until now it had been normal. I find out that ascorbic acid interferes with it. And this morning I decided finally, after doing this fasting and, you know, other stuff, I said, I'm going to start taking my supplements again. And I took like a big old whopping dose of vitamin C. And
yes,
it was not very long after. I'm like, what the heck? And I started researching, and I went, oh, vitamin C. That's what brought my sugar went up to 124, and I hadn't eaten anything in like 16 hours. And I'm like, oh my God, what's going on? What's going on? Well, discovered that it's just something with that particular meter and the way it measures, that ascorbic acid interferes with it in larger doses. I guess if I just had taken 1,000 milligrams, it would have been okay, but I probably took 3 or 4. So,
well, it's interesting, because I know when I do my Vite C IV, and I've tested my blood sugar not knowingly, I was shooting up to the 200s. And I'm like, what? And yeah. So when I went back to the naturopath, I said, can vitamin C shoot up my blood sugar? Because like my sugar was up like 200 and that's not, I've never had that high. And he's like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. He goes, it's just because we've done a whole, like a full dose of like vitamin C.
I'm going to disagree there though. I don't know that it's shooting up your blood sugar. I think it's close enough that it's interfering with the measurements and it's giving a false positive reading.
Oh, okay.
So I don't think you're really shooting up your sugar. I think happening is that high level ascorbate in the bloodstream is causing it to look that way,
like
it's an interfering substance.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that's what he probably explained to me as well to some degree. You know what I mean? It was, exactly.
Yeah.
It would display that way. So, okay. Now, did you finally get a blood sugar meter that you could keep continuously? Did you end up getting that one?
Yeah, I got it. It's the Freestyle Libre. I don't know how Canada is with them. In Europe, you can buy it over the counter and no prescription. In the U.S., you need a prescription, unfortunately.
What was the one that I gave you? You didn't get that one, though.
That was the one. Yeah, I finally was able to get it.
It's called Freestyle Libre? I thought it was called something else.
Oh, maybe you sent me the other one. There's two of them. One of them has been around a long time, but the Freestyle Libre is the newer one. I thought that was the one you sent me because I eventually tracked it down and was able to, because I've been looking at these for years and I just wasn't able to get it. And finally I found some place and said, you just need a doctor's prescription. So I took a chance and I ordered one for my husband and I prescribed it for him. And what they did was they sent us a fax that said, and he answered the fax because he answers my faxes, that said, hey, you know, this guy says you prescribed this, fill out this form for him. So I filled out the form for him and we put in, you know, the diagnosis code of insulin resistance and they gave it to us. Now I absconded with it. Now I found a friend of mine locally here in Austin, who's an MD, who said, oh, I'll get you one. Just, you know, put my name down and I'll even get another one if he wants one. So.
Now, this is the one that you put in your arm, and it's 24-hour thing.
Exactly. Okay. And then there's just this little thing, and I'll turn on the beep so you can, you can't, I don't know if you can hear it.
I think it's the one that you posted somewhere. Did you not post
it? I posted it on Sweet Spot. Yeah, I haven't posted the picture of it yet. I've been experimenting just to see what happens with it, and it was really close. I've still been pricking my fingers a bunch just to compare, and it's been really close up until today. And then it was like, wait a minute, this one says I'm 79. This one says I'm 104. Wait a minute, this one says I'm 80. This one says I'm 112. And I'm like, this is crazy. And I was in the sauna at the time, you know, I have the sauna where my arms are out. So I didn't think it could, but then I'm like, well, maybe it's the sauna. Maybe my core temperature is getting so hot that that interferes because high heat could. But I'm like, but my arm isn't in there. I don't know. So I started continue to research and I found out it was the ascorbic acid. So. We'll see how long it takes to go back down to normal. But yeah, it's very cool because you get to see things. One of the cool things I really liked about it was I had it on and I was exercising. And this is right after fasting. Like I was like a second or third day after having fasted. So I was trying to go easy. And I knew that the first day after fasting, I worked out with Maria and I told her afterwards, I think you worked me too hard for whatever my state is right now because my blood sugar went up by 20 points. And that usually indicates a cortisol response. So then by the next time, 2 days later, I had the patch on and I said, look, I'm going to keep monitoring throughout. It's so easy. I just pick it up and then I keep doing my workout. And I saw, oh my God, it just went up to 108. I started out at 72. I said, and we've just done kind of a, you know, a hard, so okay. So let's just take some breaths. Let's just space things. We just slowed it down a little bit and I just watched it go down. Right. So it's really nice to see that you're not like if you're in adrenal fatigue, you shouldn't be over exercising. How do you know? You can be testing your sugar and then moderating. And all I had to do was I did the same weights. I did the same number of reps. I just did them more slowly with more deliberate attention on my breath and it came down. So it just gives you this freedom to figure out how your various activities are affecting your sugar without having to kill your fingers and spend a fortune on things.
Well, and this is that was the other reason why I want one of those, more so for work, because I want to see how my work affects my cortisol level. So can you write us a prescription?
I wish I could. I mean, you're in Canada, so there's no way. You know, I could lose my license if I start randomly writing people prescriptions and sending them all over the world, right?
Right. So, yeah.
Can't do that. Really can't.
Right.
There's a few people in my, and I think it might be in my state, but I'm going to experiment with it. There's a few people who are in the high end, the top of the line of the ERC program that I work with individually. And there's two of them that are in Texas, so I'm going to start with them and just write them prescriptions and see how it goes. But I can't do it for everybody because, first of all, I'd have to hire a full-time person to handle the load of, because you have to fill out the facts, you have to find a code, and then, again, I'm exposing myself if I do. I can't do it unless I've worked with the people. So, you know, these two people I've worked with, so I'm gonna do it with them, for them.
But I can get a doctor here to write me a prescription.
Absolutely. Go to your naturopath and tell your naturopath that you want a prescription for this, and they could easily justify it.
Well, I wonder if the naturopath would be able to do that. I just would need if he would be considered a good enough doctor to
I
guess
I am.
You were.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I didn't know. If you had to be an MD, an endocrinologist, I didn't know what you had to be. So I just figured I'd try, and they did it. They took it twice, actually. So,
but I would just contact the company through the state, and then he can just write me a prescription for it. Okay, so I might do that.
So the way I did it, I ordered the meter. And I gave the name and address and the whole whatever they asked me for the doctor's office, which was me. So it was easy to give it for myself. And then they came back and they faxed us because they asked for our fax number. They faxed and said, hey, this person ordered this. Is it okay? Fill out this form if it is. And so your naturopath would just have to put in an ICD code and do it.
Was it an outrageous price?
It was $230 or something.
And what's the maintenance?
Well, that's the unit plus three cartridges. So the cartridges are supposed to last 10 days. I've heard that they can last longer if you're careful with them, but I swim a lot, so may not be. But yeah, so that's basically 30 days. So it's expensive, but the meter itself, you don't have to replace. You just have to replace the cartridges.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to do this forever. I'm just going to do it as an experimental thing. And then periodically I'll say, okay, I'm going to do it for the next 10 days and see how it goes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Perfect. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Great. I would love to get information on that and get him to order for me. If he could do it, that would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's great. Do I have time for a couple more questions?
Yeah, let me get Eliza's first, and then we'll come back to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. Okay.
And Eliza, hi, from New York City. How are you?
Hi, that's Rimmery. Fine, thank you. It's Elizabeth, but it's on the screen.
It says Eliza, so it's cut off. Elizabeth.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, that's okay.
I keep calling you Eliza.
No, you can call me Eliza. As long as not Beth or Betty, I'll be all right.
Oh, better Betty. My aunt was Betty.
Yeah. Okay. Dr. Rita Marie, I have a question. I don't know if you could answer this question, but I've been having a lot of ice cravings, like eating ice. And I don't know if that's because I was diagnosed before with being anemic, being iron deficient. I just wanted to get some feedback from you and see if there's a test that I should get done to see why is it that sometimes I crave ice.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, it could be that you're hot, it's summer, and you're out and you're working. So that, you know, keep that in mind. But if you're just like craving ice, it is oftentimes a deficiency in iron. So you can go and get a blood test done, and you can have them check your iron and your ferritin and a CBC. So those three would be what I would recommend as a basic. For
testing. Okay, I'm gonna write that down. Hold on.
Sure.
In the kitchen. Which ones were again? The iron?
Iron, ferritin, and
ferritin?
Ferritin, F-E-R-R-I-T-I-N.
I'm having a hard time understanding the second one. You said ferritin?
F is in Frank. E.
Oh, F.
R is in Rita Marie. R-I. T-I-N, ferritin.
Oh, ferritin. Okay, R-I-T-I-N. So you said F-E-R-I-T-I-N, right?
Double R, F-E-R-R-I-T-I-N.
Okay,
Yeah,
and
then
the other
one would be CBC, complete blood count. They call it a CBC.
CBC,
complete. C as in cat, complete. C as in complete. B as in blood. C as in count. Complete blood count.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Yeah, if you get those done now, you can get them. You're in New York, so you're going to have to get them through a doctor's office because you can't run through direct labs or any of the other services.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I have
another question,
Dr. Rita Marie. I had a salad the other day made out of basil, grape tomatoes, avocado, and what was the other? And asparagus.
Mm-hmm.
I steamed the asparagus. And after I ate a big bowl of that, I felt kind of bloated and a little bit of gassy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that was a reaction with the, you know, the asparagus. I like asparagus a lot. And I usually never ate it by steaming it. I usually eat the asparagus by putting it in the oven for a few minutes.
So you've eaten a salad like that before and not had any problems?
No, I didn't have a problem the first time, but the second time that I did, that I ate a bigger bowl of it, like mm-hmm. I felt a little gassy.
Yeah, and maybe just you exceeded whatever, you know, you maybe overate and you felt like gassy from that, because sometimes that happens. I'll have this great meal and then I eat a double bowl and I go, oh, no, I shouldn't have done that. Right?
I
don't know how good it is, but... Yeah, so it could just be that. If you've eaten those foods before, either individually or together, like say you've already eaten the salad is something that's very common, and you've eaten asparagus before. I mean, I can't imagine that the difference between steaming and baking asparagus would make a difference, that it would make you more gassy. Although, did you notice that your urine had a kind of funny smell after that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's from the asparagus for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, so you just might have overeaten, you know?
Yeah. Dr. Emery, I just wanted to say thank you for the kitchen thing that you did the other day, that you did like 8 recipes in 2 hours. That was amazing.
We're going to do it again. Thank you. That was
really amazing. And yeah. I wish I could have had taste of vision.
I know. I wish that was happening, right? We can hear it. We can see it. We can't smell and we can't taste. And it would be so great if we could. Imagine being able to taste things without having the calories. Oh,
I know, right?
Yeah, we're going to do it again at the end of the month too, Elizabeth. And it's part two because there was a bunch more in the list that people gave me that I didn't have time to do last month.
I loved doing that.
It was so fun.
Yeah, it looked like it was fun. I wish I was there in person. I wanted to ask you, the recipes that you did, can we find them online on the site?
Yeah, if you go into the Vital Community site,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if the recipes are up. Sometimes it takes a little longer because we have somebody who watches the whole video again and writes it down because I'm so bad at keeping track of amounts. So it might or may not be up already, but it will be soon. But the video's up for sure. But if you go to the Vital site and you look up Vital Healing Kitchen and you look at the history, you should see a link for that one, and it'll be there.
Okay. So if I don't see the recipes written, I should just watch the video and take notes.
Well, you could, and the recipes will be written there. I just don't know if it is yet. We've got to speed up that process, but it's, the person that does it was also the person that was doing all the Sweet Spot journals, and that was a lot of work, so she got a little behind on her recipe ones. But
Okay.
I used to do that myself, and it was just like, I want to make the food. I don't want to write it down. Let somebody else write it down. So I pay somebody to write it down.
Dr. Emery, I just wanted to share with you that I purchased the sprouted greens from Robin Openshaw.
Yeah.
And I used it on a smoothie this morning with avocado and some cherry and some cacao.
Yeah.
And I felt full, like for a long time. Like
nice.
I didn't feel hungry at all. And I had put put the sprouted one that has broccoli, chia, and flax seed that she sells, like something that's sprouted. It was interesting. And I put some greens also, some sprouted greens. It was powder. I didn't really use fresh greens at the time because I didn't have the time to wash or use the what I had. But I just wanted to share that it was
that
really
good.
That
sounds
good.
I'm going to check that out.
Yeah, it was
that
really good,
great.
And it felt pretty good.
Yeah, you feel good and then you feel full and then you take the app, because that's great, because people have a hard time sometimes going, you know, after breakfast, not snacking until lunch. So that's cool. Good. Thank you for sharing that. I'll go check that out.
Yeah. And thank you so much for your knowledge and for helping us.
You're so welcome. Bye.
Bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I just want to say before I go back to Mary that yesterday, I don't know how many of you were on my webinar last night, but we had almost 900 people live on the webinar, and it was really cool. And then I talked about we're doing a two-day live stream event in July. So if any of you are on here who weren't there and want to sign up for that, I would give you, as Vital people, I would give you the discount that I gave on that webinar. I mean, it's a ridiculous offer. It's a two-day live stream event filled with assessments and everything else, and it was like $47. So if you're interested in that, just type into the chat. And Lynn can type in the link to go there and sign up, because it went back up to 97 today. And still people are signing up for it. It's still a screaming deal, but because you guys are in the Vital community, I'd give you that coupon, and Lynn has that, so she can type it in the chat if you're interested. All right. Let's see. Mary.
Hi, Mary. Hello. So you're hitting some of my questions, too, which is quite cool. I missed the thing yesterday. I was so looking forward to doing it, but I had tickets to the Italian Film Festival here, so it was like conflicted with the time of the webinar, and I didn't know whether there was a replay that was going on. I had emailed to ask, but I didn't get a straight answer from the help desk there. So
yeah, so Lynn will put the link in the chat to get the replay, so you should be able to get the replay.
Perfect.
It might be. I'm not sure how that works, if you can click the same link if it goes to the replay, but I don't think it does. I think we need the separate link, and Lynn can put that in the chat.
Okay, perfect. Okay, that's fantastic. So that's another question down off my list here. okay, and it was, and then there was a follow up with a program for $47.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know how Spring Into Vitality every year we do that? We didn't do it this year. And so instead of doing it live, we're doing it on live stream for 2 days, and we're going to just have everybody in a group, and we're going to go through, you know, testing and food demos and everything for 2 days in July. So,
fantastic. I'd be interested in that for sure. Yeah.
Then put those links in the chat. That would be awesome. And you can just pull them up off the chat.
Really quickly, because I was looking at this, just is not one of my questions, but I just want to kind of just let you know, because the woman that just spoke about the recipe is not up yet. However, your video, you do not see your food at all, but your breath looked great in it. And I'm just going to tell you, that's all you really see.
My lovely husband taking pictures of my boobs. Lovely.
Video is your chest, and your head's cut off, and your food you don't see. So I don't know what happened there.
There's two videos. One is what we do on the camera, and one is what we do that's transmitted. And they usually, the one that's on the camera is better, but he may have like bumped into it or something and knocked it off and didn't watch. I will have him look at that and see. Thank you for the feedback.
Yeah, I just quickly checked it. Okay, so that
wasn't my question. Just replace it.
Okay, I have a quick question about adrenal fatigue. My adrenal, I've been in sort of stage one-ish kind of adrenal fatigue, and so we've been working with that as well, which could be affecting the thyroid as well or whatnot. Anyhow, long story short, really quick question with this one. There is thoughts around if you have adrenal fatigue, you have to eat every hour and a half. But then again, that conflicts with the blood sugar stuff that we've been talking about and about spacing between meals.
Here's the thing, Mary, before you go too far, those people are not testing sugar. The problem is that if you go too long, the people that are saying do it every hour and a half.
Okay.
Eat every hour and a half. Because here's the thing. Now, if your blood sugar is going up in between meals, then yeah, you want to, like, it's not related to the food. So for example, if you eat at 9 and then you have a cortisol response, it's going to cause your blood sugar to go up. So I would say that's not a good idea. There's no science or evidence that supports that that's a good idea. All that does is keep insulin elevated in your system all day long. And I don't think it's a good idea. Now, there are some people, hour and a half is totally ridiculous. 3 hours I might be able to buy for some people, at least initially, because, and those people usually know, because when they start to go too long between meals, they start to get palpitations. We had this happen on our first Before Be Gone program, and these people were just jumping in and going to 6 hours, and they're like, but by 4 hours, I'm having heart palpitations. Like, hey, we can't go that fast. You've got to go, like, go to 3.5 hours between meals. Mm-hmm. Sit with that for a while, then go to 4, then go to 5. No, there's no evidence anywhere that says that somebody with adrenal fatigue needs to eat every hour and a half. Show me the science. I've not been able to find anything.
Okay, good to know, because I've been training my body to eat further. Now I can't eat every hour and a half. I'm not hungry.
No, you shouldn't eat every hour and a half. It's very bad for your body. Insulin will be elevated all day long. And insulin is so detrimental to be elevated when you don't need it.
And that's the other thing, because I know when I've been doing my blood tests, I mean, I'm probably more, I err on the side more where my insulin will spike rather than it's not, depending on what food I'm eating. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, they're trying to keep people from going into hypoglycemia, which they shoot their insulin up and then they come back down. That's not the way to approach it. Not the way to approach it.
Right. And I don't think I've been in hypoglycemia. I've tested my blood sugar and stuff like that, but I've never been that low.
No.
And the only time I've ever really been that low is when I fasted longer periods of time. You know what I mean?
And that's normal for fasting longer periods of time.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good to know, because there was some controversy there, and there's a couple times. And the whole, do you know who was the other one? The medical median guy. He was like, if you have adrenal fatigue or whatever the case is, you know, you should be, even if you don't, you should be eating every 2 hours or whatever the case is, hour and a half, 2 hours.
I disagree with a lot of the stuff he says. A lot of the stuff he says is good. A lot of it is just falls flat on its in the face of science. And he may, you know, be getting his message from God, but I'm sorry. I believe that we should trust our bodies.
That's right. Okay. All right. That's good to know. Okay, this is an important question, Dr. Riedemann, because I'm curious also. I love this chart that you created. It's like on my fridge. It's going to be one of this chart on my fridge probably forever.
Which one?
It's the daily diet checklist that you have.
Yeah.
I love it.
Great.
Okay, my question to you, and this is a personal question. Do you do every single thing on this thing? Because, okay, minus the extra additional calories, because you may not need them. But, I mean, like, even just 2 pounds a day. So I've done a 14-day juice feast, okay? So I was working with David Renoshek. And David Renoshek actually is another one who said, if you have adrenal fatigue, you have to eat every hour and a half. And I was like, oh, I don't know if I believe that too much. But anyhow, that's besides the point. So I actually finally measured out what, like, I actually weighed 2 pounds and what that looks like. And that's a lot of food, right? So, and that's just the greens alone. So, yeah, I know you can put them in the green smoothie and you can do juices. But I do the
right.
2 pounds
smoothies
of greens.
Right, and salad
and
dressings,
right.
And yeah.
That's right. So when I do my juicing, it works out because the 2 pounds of leafy greens, I can get about 2.5 quarts. I don't always drink them all in one day anymore because I'm not doing juice feasting. But, I might have 1 quart and then save the other quart for the next day and then continue eating something else or a little bit of smoothies. But I just find it's still a lot of food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I use it as a guideline, right? Minimally a pound. That's what I say. A pound, ideally 2. Right, and there's days you're not going to get that. I have experimented to see if I could get 2 pounds of greens into a smoothie in the Vitamix, and I can get it into a full Vitamix container, like a pound of spinach and a pound of kale, and then water and whatever else I put in there. So you can do it. I've done it certainly. Like if I make broccoli, I don't do this so much in the summer because it's too hot, but in the winter I'll make a broccoli soup, you know, a broccoli cruciferous soup. I put the greens in the pot, I steam them, and then I blend them all up. That's easily a pound, if not more, of greens when I do it that way.
Yeah. And I get that you're saying, you know, you're eating these 2 pounds of dark leafy greens, which obviously you can divide between juices, smoothies, and the salad, the whole 2 pounds throughout the day. And then on top of that, you're doing your rainbow colors, which, again, that's quite a bit. And then you're doing cruciferous.
Well, no, the cruciferous, no, there's overlap there, Mary. Yeah.
Okay.
So the cruciferous are generally counted in the pound, right? But you want to make sure in that, in those greens that there's a bunch of cruciferous. But no, there's not on top of the 2 pounds. It's more like the 2 pounds is the amount. And of that, it's a lot of leafy greens, a lot of cruciferous, and then some rainbow.
Oh, God. Okay. So, so you're including, you're not just saying just dark green, because here it looks like on the checklist, it does say dark green leafy vegetables, eating 2 pounds of those, plus another 3 to 4 cups.
I see what you see. Leaf, yeah.
And plus another, you know, rainbow of whatever.
Yeah.
A large bowl of that. So.
Yeah. That would be comprehensive. Yeah, if you get that.
Okay.
Right, but.
All right. So you're combining leafy greens, cruciferous vegetables, and the rainbow salads and the beta carotene all together as 2 pounds. That's
about
more
2 pounds
manageable.
Of vegetables in a day. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's more manageable. Okay. I was thinking on top of the leafy 2 pounds of leafy greens, everything else. Okay.
Got it.
And the sprouts would be in that 2 pounds as well.
Yeah, I mean, sprouts weigh so little that it doesn't.
Well, it does. It's true. I know. That's true. But okay, yeah. Okay, gotcha. All right, well, that clears that, because I'm thinking, how much is she eating? But, you know, when you post some of the stuff that you eat, I'm like, that doesn't look like a lot. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, when I'm doing a smoothie cleanse where I'm just doing liquids, I easily get that and a lot more.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that I could see. Okay. All right, perfect. Really quickly, what's up with this hemp seed? Now, I thought it was an omega-3. Now it's an omega-9. I'm confused.
Hemp is omega-3.
It's somewhere around.
Not everything. It's 4 to 1, 6 to 3. So it's actually got 6 and 3, and it may probably have 9 too. But it's a good source of omega-3. Who's telling you
it's
not?
Okay, good. You know what? I either read it somewhere or I was listening to something and they were saying that it's a higher source of omega-9 and it wasn't
on
there.
But it's also a good source of 3. I mean, there's things that have multiple stuff in it. So, you know, it's a good source of omega-3. You get substantial.
Okay.
If you look at my chart, you've got access to it. It's the chart that's got the omega. You put your foods in it and it'll tell you the omega-3 6 balance. You can see, when you put in, you know, a couple of tablespoons of hemp seeds, it gives you plenty of omega-3. So here's the thing that I'm finding very disturbing these days. There are so many, because of the internet and how easy it is to get on Facebook Live, to make a video, to do all this, everybody's an expert. Suddenly everybody's an expert. And what I'm getting is a lot of people, you know, when I used to do programs at the start, people would just take, they'd take what I said. I'm not that I want everybody to just take what I say and believe it. I'm giving you science behind it. But nobody questioned stuff, right? It was like, wow, this is good. This is cool. Oh, but now Dr. John says I should do this and Dr. Joe says I should do that. And it's the complete opposite of what you say. I'm like, let's find what's right for you, for your body.
Right.
Let's use science to start as a starting point, and let's use your body as the ending point to how what you do for you. And if what they say doesn't make sense, it flies in the face of science, like eating every 2 hours, flies in the face of science for what most people want. Now, if somebody's super thin and they need to gain weight and their digestive tract can handle it, I'll have them eat every 3 to 4 hours because they can't spread it out too much or they get too thin. But that's a unique case. But in most part, people who are overweight or just trying to maintain and have a tendency to gain weight, not a good idea to keep insulin elevated in your system all day long. I mean, it's not a good idea for anybody, and it's not a good idea for the digestive tract because of the migrating motor complex. But again, everybody's unique. So we start with a set of guidelines, no rules, guidelines, and we modify it for you. So yeah, it's a challenge because people are getting confused and a lot of people are getting food phobic as a result of being confused because this one says that and this one says that and what's the truth? The truth is what works for your body and what you can measure is having a result with you.
Right. I mean, I'm pretty sure the person was reputable, and I just can't remember where it was that I got
it. I'm sure they're
sure
reputable,
it just threw me off. Yeah, threw me off.
Yeah, and it may be a good source of 9. I don't know that. I'd have to look them up. But I wasn't focusing on 9 because 9's so easy to get. It's not, you know, it's not one of the essentials. And the real important piece is the omega-3 6 balance. So, yeah, they may be a good source of 9, but they're a great source of 3.
Right. Okay. Okay, perfect. Good. I'm glad to know, because I thought, oh, you know what? I tested, muscle tested today, and chia seeds didn't test very well for me, but flax tested really strong. So, and it makes sense because my estrogen is low anyhow. So I think the, we talked about it with Lisa as well, with just increasing some flax to get that estrogen levels a little bit better. But so, okay. And my other question is with this whole water fasting, and I know that you've done quite a bit of it, and I know Dr. Pompa just came up off of a 5-day water fast with his group, but have you ever thought of actually doing, walking us through a water fast and doing a program for our group?
I've thought about it. And as well,
I'm
watched,
giving you more,
I
I'm giving Pompa you more work.
I watched what he did, and I would consider doing a 3-to-5-day. As long as it's really clear with everybody that I'm just educating. We're just like, he didn't have anybody sign up for anything. He just did it, right? He just did it. And he said, this is public education. Right. That's my concern, is that you got to teach people what to look out for, because, you know, some people are just not, fasting's not a good thing for them. Right. So it's more from a liability standpoint that I haven't done a program that's like, okay, let's do water fasting, because I don't want to take on that responsibility. But I did it once back in January. I just said, hey, I'm going to be doing a fast, and I'll document it here. If anybody wants to follow along or join, this is not an official program, but just go ahead and do it. I've thought of that, and I've done that.
Right.
But yeah, I'd like to teach more about it, though. I like what he did in terms of teaching.
Right. Yes. And that's what I was thinking, more of a solo, like a solo program of water fasting for our group would be great, as well as a little more in detail. You know why, too? Because when they're all coming off of, like, I didn't jump into it, because I got into it a little bit later and didn't get all the information. Anyways, and I'm not ready to do a water fast right now, given I want my health to be a little bit, I want my thyroid to be a little bit stronger, and I just want to get my body just a little stronger before I dive into that. And, you know, it could be completely wrong. It might be even more helpful, but I'm not sure. When he was talking about the transitioning off, a lot of it has to do with, it's not really a plant-based diet.
No.
Some of it was. So I'd like it to be I want to transition into eating solid foods again based on the foods that we've been talking about within our community.
Yeah,
your community.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
Totally. I get it. Because I watched what he did. I also thought he pulled people back on food too quickly. Like when he showed his first meal, he had like 6 or 7 different foods. He had
hummus. On there.
He had chickpeas.
Hummus on it.
He had, he had sweet potato. He had all kinds of stuff. I'm like, I wouldn't put that in my body after I've fasted. I do 2 foods. I did celery and avocado. I mean, I mashed my avocado with lime, so technically it was 3, but mashed my avocado with lime, and I ate celery sticks with it. That was because, you know, and for some people, he said, you know, raw, cooked rather than raw. For some people, that's true. For some people, not so much, right? So my first fast back, well, not the most recent first fast, but the one that I did back in January, I transitioned off on cooked vegetables, on a vegetable soup, because it was winter. I didn't feel anywhere near as good transitioning off as I did this time doing it with raw. So I've been doing 100% raw ever since. And
but
feels,
don't you think also the time of the year is also
the time of year makes
a
difference. Yes.
Summer, I'm freezing to do even a juice feast or anything that's in the winter. I find that I respond a lot better in the summer, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So,
and in the winter, it's a time to do like a soup type of if you're going to do a cleanse with anything, you do it with soup, with blended stuff, and maybe have some juices as part of the base so that you get your raw nutrition in there. But yeah, I think it just varies. Like I just felt better, more vibrant eating the raw foods coming off of and just a couple of foods at a time. Like my first meal was 2 foods like that. The next meal I had sauerkraut with avocado, like really simple. And then another meal I had was, I think I had arugula with olives and sauerkraut. Like, I've been eating a lot of sauerkraut. I've been eating tons and tons of, that's what my body's craving right now, is the fermented veggies. I'm eating tons of fermented veggies. Just tuning in. Sometimes it's just tuning in and go, okay, what does my body want right now? What does it want right now? And you look around, you look at what appeals. For me, it was limited because the first time I came off the fast, I didn't have any food in the house. I think my husband had been gone or something. he was gone, and I don't remember, but there was nothing in the house to eat left, and so I found, I don't know what I found, celery and avocado is all I found, and then there was a bag of sauerkraut and more avocado, and then I found a head of cauliflower, and that was it, and then I was like, okay, I'm going to fast again, so then I went and fasted another 5 days, so anyway, but it's really tuning into your body. The whole thing is about customizing it for you, what works well for you.
Right. And I think I was going to say even the same, an individual SOBO program, even on intermittent fasting. I know that you have some information on it, but it's integrated with other things.
Yeah.
But, you know, just to even practice that on in itself, you know what I'm saying? So I don't know, just to give you some ideas. I know you've got like lots on your plate anyways, but I thought I'd just throw it out there and just see if there's other things that maybe, I don't know if anybody else is interested in. I'm always interested in. You know,
yeah, well, I'm interested in doing more, and I was planning on doing some more intermittent fasting type education as part of Sweet Spot, too.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And the other really quick question I have is about sunflower lecithin. I just wondered I've seen it in liquid, I've seen it in, I don't know, how do you take it, and what's the best form and what's the best brand?
Well, I don't know what the best form necessarily is. It depends on how you're going to use it. We used to use Lekithos, which was a liquid, and I liked it because they're organic and hexane-free. And then they couldn't get organic sunflower seeds for a while, and so they didn't do it, and they don't want, you know, high quality. So theirs is now GMO-free but not and hexane-free but not organic. I had ordered some from a company, I can't remember the name of the company, but it was the Flakes Organic. And then I ordered just recently, Raw Food World said they came out with the first truly raw sunflower lecithin. And they had is powder, and I just got it. So I haven't used it yet. So those are some options. You know, look for I don't remember the name of the first one that's the Flakes. But, I mean, Raw Food World is a pretty reputable company for that, for the quality anyway.
Well, I guess because a lot of some of the recipes that I see them act as a thickener, like for a smoothie or a dessert or something like that?
Well, it can act as an emulsifier. So it will, like, keep the fat and the liquid, the water, from separating. So in making nut milk, if you put some lecithin in, you know, if you stick a nut milk in the refrigerator, you have to shake it real well because the fat separates. And it's smoothies, too. If you have some fat in your smoothie, like an avocado or something, it separates. You have to shake it real well. The lecithin will hold it together. Plus, it's a phospholipid, so it has some definite advantages for brain health and memory health.
Okay. Yeah, there's some recipes that I have that call for it, and I didn't know whether I use a liquid, a powder, or this. It doesn't really specify,
Specify. I think the most commonly available is the powder or the flakes, which is similar.
Okay, that's good. And it's for like mostly smoothies, I think, anyhow. Okay, yeah, great.
And smoothies, nut milks, yeah.
And my last question basically is vitamin E. Do you know a brand that has a vitamin E that's not gelatin?
It's not gelatin, yeah.
Because usually it's.
Yeah, they're using a gel cap, right. There are, there's
a liquid.
I've seen that. I had somebody order it and she hated it because it was so thick. But it was a food grade, liquid vitamin E. The other thing I've used for vitamin E is tocotrienols, which is like extracted from rice bran. Yeah, look at that. And that comes in a powdery, kind of a flaky thing.
Tocotrienol, yeah, so powder. And that's, Life bran?
No, I don't know the brand. I mean, I know that Raw Food World has it, and a lot of the healthier food companies will carry it.
Oh, okay. That's a good option I never thought of actually using. Okay. That would be okay. That's fine. Something on my list that is, I'm supposed to take, but I don't want to take a gelatin one.
Right. Right. Yeah. Try finding the liquid. And the brands change all the time. So, you know, I looked it up like 2 years ago. Person didn't like it. She went back to her gel caps.
Right. Okay. Okay. That's great. I think that's about it. Besides I'm just getting bloating and I think it's just too much fat. I think I need a break. So.
Yeah. I think that we just have to tune in, you know, and go moderate, especially if you do some kind of cleanse is just go slowly build it up and see where you're at. And that's the thing with like this whole keto trend and everybody's pushing it and pushing people to have really, really high fat. And if you have a gallbladder problem, if you don't know you have a gallbladder problem, you could suddenly find out you do. But there's, it's really a matter of finding what works for each individual. So I've been, since I started the fast, I've been straight in ketosis for like 20 days now. And I'm doing it on plant foods. Once I started eating again, I'm keeping my ketones up by eating plant foods, and I'm not gorging on fat. I'm only eating whole food fats. I don't do oils at all. I'm doing olives and avocado and what else? Olives, avocado. I've done tahini. Today I did some pine nuts. I've done pumpkin seeds. So all whole food plant fats. Coconut, but I think coconut might raise my blood sugar. I'm going to have to test that one again. So,
but are you doing like 70-80% fat? Like what's the percentage that you're doing?
I don't know because I don't measure it that way. I basically just eat a handful of olives on a big, huge arugula sauerkraut salad. That's what I had for lunch today.
Right.
So, right. And then I might make coconut yogurt. Maybe that meal was a little higher percentage of fat. So I had coconut yogurt with a green smoothie.
Right.
But that's not a huge, I'm not going like, and I don't think you need to do the 80% fat. I think you just find out what you need and what maintains you. The first few days I stayed there and I just had a little bit of fat, like half an avocado.
Yeah. Yeah. I find that I think that's too much. And I tend to gorge because, I'm not doing the fruit at all. Right. So,
mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it's not, and I just tested cashews and I tested cashews. They didn't test well for me. So now I got to get off cashews. And then I was substituting with macadamia nuts and I was starting to eat them and I thought, oh, I don't know if they're making me feel any good. And then we did muscle testing today and then they're like, no, your body doesn't like the macadamias. I'm like, shoot, I just ordered like, you know, 3 pounds of them because I was hopefully ready to, you know, substituting just to make a creamy dressing of some sort.
Right, but the muscle testing is transient, right? Every day you're going to test differently for different stuff. So tune into your body, learn how to do some self-muscle testing or sway testing or just tune into it. I can just feel now, no, that's not a good thing. That's not going to go well for me. I don't think it's a good idea. I did it today, which I usually don't. I chewed them real well. I made them into like nut butter in my mouth, but I had some pine nuts. But typically, and I sprinkled on salad and they were so good I ate a couple of handfuls. But the point is that eating nuts, just eating them, you can get in big trouble because it's easy to eat too many nuts. But if you use the nuts and you make it into a sauce that goes over a big vegetable salad, then you're spreading it out. Because people say to me, wow, you must eat a lot of fat because they make these recipes with fat in them. I'm like, no, I eat huge amounts of vegetables with the fat as a condiment on top of it, as opposed to the fat being the main meal. And that's what you'll hear me talk about it when you listen to the replay from last night, is that the mistake that people make on all of those diets is they don't get enough greens and vegetables.
Yes.
The plate is mostly whatever that other thing is with a little bit of vegetables. No, the plate should be, you know, big thing of vegetables with the sauces or the other stuff on top of it to give it that texture and to give you the other macros. That's just the way it works for me, and I think that finding your volume balance is going to be where it works. But I'm just not a fan of oil at all.
Well, but you know what, Dr. Rita Marie, I have to say, though, like I make I just made a wonderful macadamia ranch dressing. It tastes amazing, and I can eat the whole thing with raw veggies. It's so good. So,
yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? So I can still get into trouble with just eating the whole
get into trouble
thing
making.
That I, yeah.
Yeah, right? But make sure that you're not, you know, you're not like sitting there with the spoon and eating the dip, that you're getting plenty of veggies in there. And yeah. Yeah, so we can always get in trouble with the foods that are that yummy,
you know,
right?
That's funny. Yeah. Yeah, you know what? Right now, I just got to get off them because, you know, I think just digestively, I've got some. We did the gut test with Lisa, and so I do have a little bit of dysbiosis going on. So I'm just trying to eliminate some things, and it's not forever. It's just I need a break to heal my gut, and then once I heal my gut, then maybe I can introduce a couple things here and there, right?
Right, and that's why I love fasting, because you get rid of everything and then you can introduce things back little by little. And I always get mad at myself if I overdo it, like I went out to dinner at somebody's house and they made this big, it's only like the third day into fasting or eating after fasting. But she made a cheddar dip with cashews. And then she made this Indian masala dip with cashews. And then she had guacamole, and I should have eaten more veggies, but I ate more dips than veggies.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I was like, oh.
Oh my goodness, I know. It's interesting. But that's why it's even more important that you do the water fasting program for all of us.
Okay.
So you can educate us how to transition off of it.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, all right. I'll think about it. Because I have been thinking about it, but it's
no pressure. Dr. Reamer.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't have any more questions, but thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. It's a pleasure as always. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Likewise. Bye.
All right. You guys, who else? We're done. We have 6 more minutes. If we have, we don't have to take all 6 more minutes. Lynn put up a bunch of links. So she put in the link for the registration for the replay. That's a big, long, funny link, but that's what it takes. We have to get a shortened one. She put up the sunflower lecithin from Raw Food World. She put up the link to the VHK from last month. Make sure that you, well, not everybody, you might want to put up the VHK link there, Lynn, too, because some people who didn't, weren't in Sweet Spot may not have the Unstoppable Health one yet. That's our next job, is we're transitioning you guys. If you don't know it, if you haven't been in Sweet Spot, you don't know it, but we have a whole new website and it's awesome. Vital is the most complicated to move things over because of all the different pieces and moving parts, but we're hoping that within the next couple of weeks we get over there. I'm going to have to meet with my web guy soon and talk about it. She put in strategy session. Great. That's a good idea. And then she put in foodandgenes.com is actually that 2-day live stream that we're going to do in July, and it's going to be amazing. We're going to do testing. We're going to give you stuff in advance so you can fill out your forms and come to the thing. And we're just going to guide you through, like, really getting a handle on where your obstacles are and where your body needs support. And then we're going to do some food demos and exercise demos and all kinds of cool stuff. So it's going to be a whole full 2 days, just as if you're at a retreat. And you know, we'll have a session, we'll have a break, we'll have another session, a lunch, you know, so that basically I'm laying it out the same way I lay out my Spring into Vitality. And the thing is, I always feel bad every year when we do that Spring into Vitality and we hear from people in Australia and New Zealand and I can't come all the way over there. You know, and I feel bad. So we decided to try it this year instead. And if you want to get it for 47, but hurry up and do it, because we're not going to leave it up forever. And we're just giving it back to you guys. We really just said it's Genes 50, G-E-N-E-S 50, Genes 50. And you'll get it for 47. And we just did it on the call yesterday, but since you guys are in our community and loyal members, we're going to give it to you here. But it's not, you know, if you have a friend or something you want to get signed up for it, people ask that, can I sign up my mother? Can I sign up my friend with the discount? Feel free to do that, but we're not going to keep that coupon up for very long. Okay. It's going to be fun. I can't wait. The more I talked about it last night, the more I keep thinking about it and laying out the layout for it, the more excited I'm getting about it. It's going to be cool. Probably going to do it on Zoom so that we could see each other. So you could see each other if you want to. You can put your camera on or off. Doesn't matter. But if you have a question, you want to pop up, or you want to show me something, or, you know, you have your results. If we're doing the testing with the strips and all, that we could see each other doing that. It's going to be fun. It's going to be really cool. We've never done anything like this before. Next year, if it's good and with successful, with all the amount of work that goes into it, it probably won't be 47 or even 97 next year. But we're doing it at this price point so we can just see how it goes and see how many people we can do. We have already 300 people or more signed up for this thing. So we're going to cap it, but I'm not sure where we're going to cap it. I think we'll probably have to cap it at 500 if we want to do Zoom, because I don't think without paying a fortune to Zoom, I can go above 500. But we might do it on Instant Teleseminar if not. So we'll see. We'll make decisions about that. But it's a month away, so we're giving you a month to really plan it out. If you already have plans at that time, as long as it's not, you know, a vacation you've been planning on for years, maybe there's some opportunity that you could switch things around so you've got a whole month to do that. And it's all recorded, and we're actually going to give you the recording, so even better than Spring into Vitality, because you show up for the live event and you have to pay extra for the recordings, whereas this, we're just going to give you the recordings. So it's a good deal. How come there's a countdown for the replay to start? I don't know. because you registered for it for a certain time. You might have registered it for 9 o'clock or something. It'll show up now, or you can register for a time tomorrow because it's got this thing where you can register for the particular times. So it's not an actual replay. It's actually a scheduled replay kind of thing. It's the way that service works. And we find that when people have a set time to watch the replay, they actually watch it. Whereas if you just give them a replay link and I'll get to it tomorrow. I'll get to it tomorrow anyway. All right, guys. Thank you guys so, so much for being here. I'm going to open up your line so we can just say goodbye. Oh, Pat's line is up again. You have another question, Pat?
Real quick, I skipped over the most important good news that I had since I was focused on the concerns, and that is your suggestion to use the liposomal curcumin and the probiotics. I think I credit those most with most of my eczema skin rash has been disappearing over the last
year.
Yes, and I was just like so into the other stuff I forgot to mention it. I'm like, oh, I had it.
Oh, thank you for telling me that. That's great. So it was the liposomal curcumin and the...
And probiotics. I started probiotics. With probiotics.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's
so
great to know,
really,
because, you know, I'll admit this in front of you guys, but sometimes when you ask me questions, it's just like the answers just like flow, and I won't even remember what I told you later, but it's just like I'm feeling into the moment of what you're telling me and feeling into what you need. So I'm always really excited when I hear back that it worked. I mean, it's all based on science, obviously, but it's also, there's an intuition comes up as well about like everything you said at that particular time. I wouldn't say to anybody, oh, I have eczema. Oh, try probiotics and liposomal curcumin. But all the stuff that you had told me said to me, I think liposomal curcumin and probiotics would be a good thing. And sure enough, it was. So I'm really excited to hear that. Thank you so much for telling me.
Yes, exactly. This is why your opinion is so valuable. Thank you so much for all you do.
You're welcome. Bye-bye, Pat.
Bye-bye.
All right, I'll open everybody's lines, and on the count of three, let's just say goodbye to each other. 1, 2, 3. Bye, everybody. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye.
Thank you.
Good night. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks for everything.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye. Bye.